like to introduce our next speaker. It's with great honor and privilege. I've had a ringside seat to this brother's recovery. All the way from St. Croix in the Virgin Islands, I give you Mark A.
I'm an addict named Mark.
Mark.
Yeah, courage to change. And the wisdom to know the difference. I got to say, on April 1st, I got a call on my phone. I was at work, and it was a number I didn't recognize. It was 240 area code, and I don't really see those a whole lot nowadays since, you know, I live, you know, down in the Virgin Islands. And so something had me thinking, man, you know what? What if it's someone asking me to share at this convention, man? I don't know how that came about. And I was like, you know, I don't know if I should answer it, you know? Like I had that voice in my head saying, you know, you remember what they told you, you know, don't pick up no matter what. So, you know, I was like, I ain't answering the phone, you know? And so the other voice was like, no, pick up. And the other one was like, don't do it. By the time I got around to making a decision, you know, it had already gone to voicemail. And so I listened to the voicemail, and it was, you know, a very cheery girl on the other end. She was like, you know, we'd like you to share on, you know, a workshop, you know, would you be interested in doing it? And so I said, first I texted my sponsor, then I texted my wife, and I'm like, what do I do? And, you know, my wife is like, you're phrasing this like it's a question, like you have a choice. Of course you're going to do it, you know? Why would you not? And I'm like, well, you know, I mean, I just want to go up there and just listen, you know? Like, I already talk enough, you know, at meetings down here, because the meetings are real small. Up there, I just want to go up in here. And she's like, no, man, you know, you got a story to tell too. You know, so courage to change. You know, I don't really know, it, you know, a whole lot about courage. You know, I mean, when I first came in, my definition was completely different. You know, when I first came to, you know, to NA, you know, I try and impress y'all, you know. Oh, yeah, man, I smoked PCP at, you know, 8 years, and I used to go down to Potomac Gardens and Eastgate, and, you know, yeah, man, you know, I'd do, you know, anything, man. I have no fear, you know. And they would pinch my cheek and go, oh, newcomer, you're so cute. Why don't you go help us find a coffee filter before we get this meeting started? I said, damn. But for real, man, you know, as a young kid, the feelings of self-doubt and worth were sown into me long before I picked up the drugs. The drugs were finally the end to the pain that I had been feeling. You know, I was never good in sports. I'm going to tell you that right off the bat. In my school, in my junior high, sports were a real big deal. And if you played sports well, you were a good person. You were a competent individual. And if you didn't, like me, you know, well, something was wrong with you. And that's how I perceived it. I've got the coordination of a newborn giraffe. You know, you throw a ball at me, I'm gonna run. Yeah, it's embarrassing. So I carried all of that fear. Okay, I'm the last pick person here, you know, in gym class. And, you know, when I found drugs, I didn't feel at all. And so, you know, that worked great. That worked great for a long time until it just didn't. And every time I would try using, it just backfired even more and even more. The one person I could confide to was my brother. And, you know, he was a Marine. He was like, man, I know you need help, but, you know, my job is killing people. You know, I don't know how to save people. So let's just drop you off at this NA meeting and see what they can do for you. And the process began. But I'm an addict that just takes a long time to get it. I was one of those guys that they talk about the 30-day wonder and the one just for today reading, and that was me. I could get clean, and I couldn't stay clean. And people just said, keep coming back, keep coming back. I think what I found was you guys accepted me no matter what. But I can't begin to tell you how frustrating it was just to get it. Because it felt like everyone else, like gym class, everyone else got it except for me. Why am I picking up key tags all the time? White key tags. And the real paradox of courage is that it begins with surrender, and surrender then to acceptance. So I couldn't understand, but I have to say I'm really grateful to be here at this convention here. This is my 10th time in 10 years. I haven't missed a single one yet. And my story wouldn't be complete if I didn't share with you my very first experience at Ocean City, because it was a turning point in my recovery. I had a sponsor that they talk about in the Just for Today reading, you know, someone who has faith in me and believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. And he said, you want to go to Ocean City. And dude had a truck that had CPR, CNA, or bust written on the back on the windows. He had, like, NA flags flying. He had the shirts and the jewelry and was Captain Narcotics Anonymous. I said, oh, God, this is overkill. But whatever, you know, let's do it. You know, we'll go. So I rode with him, and he said, man, so you coming up on 30 days. You going to pick up your 30-day key tag this weekend, right? And I said, yeah, kind of. And he's like, well, what do you mean kind of? Either you're picking it up or you're not. Don't you have 30 days? Well, I had told him I was coming up on 30 days, but once again, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I had 4 days at that point, and I was so embarrassed. And I was expecting him to hit me up with the rolled-up newspaper. And you know what he said? He said, "That's okay, man. Just keep coming back." Well, what he did say was, "Listen, if there was something that I could do," and he's always said, "if I could just give one-tenth of what I feel inside of me and put it in you, I think that things would change. But if I could have you do something that, no matter what it was, that would help you stay clean, would you do it?" And we're riding through the cornfields, and I said, "I don't know, man. What do I got to do?" And he says, "Well, listen, I got this flag that I made for you. It's a big surrender flag. I know you have a problem with surrender here, but maybe if you waved it around at the convention, that, you know, things might change." I said, "Listen, no, no." Everything is still conditional at this point. What lengths will you, you know, go to stay clean? Anything but wave that damn flag. So he says, "It's not that big of a deal." It was a big white flag, had a big broom handle, big bed sheet, and in blue letters it said, "I surrender." Man, all you got to do is just take that flag and wave it. Let's just change the subject here. So we finally get there, and we get to a restaurant where a bunch of people in my sponsorship family are having dinner. And once again, the subject of that damn flag came up. And everyone else at that table said, "Oh, man, that's the coolest idea. If you don't want that flag, I'll take it. I'll wave it." I said, "Fuck you. That's my flag." Now it's got value. You can't take that flag from me. I still have that flag. And so I took it around the parking lot, and I waved it and completely... he felt humiliated, and I still felt like I couldn't get it. I didn't understand what that would do to help me stay clean. And I talked with someone in my sponsorship family that I really looked up to. He had a lot of time clean. He always seemed to say these things that just were like words from God rain down. And whatever he said, I took as gospel. And so he said, "Listen, I know you're struggling. I know you think that you're the only one. You're not thinking about all those other guys who went back out and never came back. You kept coming back no matter what. And know that you're not the only one that did that. For the first 5 years of my recovery, I picked up nothing but white key tags." And it was at that moment that I felt that spark of hope that, holy crap, I mean, this guy must have got clean around Woodstock or something. And if it worked for him, it might work for me. Well, fast forward to the Saturday night speaker, the main speaker. At the end of the speaker's share, they do the clean time countdown. And, you know, it comes all the way down to a person with 24 hours. And I stood up. I had 5 days at that point. And after it was over, person on the stage said, "Listen, anyone with 7 days clean or less, would you please walk up to the front of the stage and pick up a free basic text?" And, oh, God, I did not want to do that. Everybody in my sponsorship family was sitting next to me. And he said, go, man. Go. It's a good thing. I said, I don't want to go, man. And they're like, you can do it. You can do it. Just walk up there. Just get that thing. You know, we're proud of you. And so I walked down the aisleway, and for me, it felt like the walk of shame. You know, everyone was clapping. Everyone was cheering for me. But inside, you know, I felt like a failure. I felt like a fraud. I felt like a liar. I felt like a cheat. I felt worse than any day in gym class being last picked. But you guys said it was okay. And I felt hope. And this time I felt faith that it was going to be okay. I had one more episode of going back out just to see if it really was all that out there. And I never used again. I haven't used yet. Let me rephrase that. I have not used yet. My clean date's May 17th, 2004. I did what everyone else was doing. Service. Right steps. Get a sponsor. Go to meetings. Had about 13 months clean. And got into my first romantic relationship. I didn't wait the year because they said, don't get into a relationship your first year. I was just truly undateable my first year. So it just happened to be that way. Now, I got into a relationship with someone that wasn't in the program. This is someone that was using. I played in a band for like 22 years, since I was 17 years old. And we played a show in Columbus, Ohio. I met this girl, and she tracked me down after we left. And you know what? I did the whole long distance back and forth, back and forth. I'm a fixer. I'm gonna carry the message to her. She's gonna get it. We're gonna live happily ever after. She's gonna thank me for being clean and being her higher power. And oh man, it's gonna be awesome. And I drove up to Columbus, Ohio one last time, and she almost got me high. We broke up, and it was the first relationship that I ever had to go through without any anesthesia. Problem was that I had to drive back through the mountains of West Virginia without any radio, any lights. You've driven through those mountains of West Virginia. It is dark. There is nothing out there. And there were times when my sponsor would say to me, there's going to be some times when the only thing separating you from picking up that next drug is your higher power. And I prayed my ass off. And when I finally got within cell phone range, I called him up and I said, listen, I am fucked up. And he said, listen, We're up here at Baltimore, the Free State Convention. We thought you weren't going to make it up there. We got an extra cot here. Don't go down to D.C. Go straight to Baltimore. We're waiting for you. And so I went there. And once again, Narcotics Anonymous has my back. Giving me some courage that I don't have on my own. And so I was heartbroken. And he said, you know, don't worry about the relationship. It'll come to you. In the meantime, why don't you work on trying to become the type of person that you would like to attract? Now, for many years, like I've told you, I played in a band for 22 years. I always had really long hair. I had a full beard. I always wore black, and I never smiled. And he said, why don't you consider cutting your hair? Try that. I said, man, I don't know, man. You know, metal chicks are my thing, right? He says, how's that been working out for you? I said, I don't know. The last one almost got me high. So did some soul searching, and finally I said, you know, I'm fine. I'll do it. It's hair. It's just dead skin cells, right? Cut the hair. I cut the hair, and this is a true story. 3 hours after I left the barber shop, I met a girl that became my future wife. It was the craziest thing. But there was only one glitch to it. She said, you're a nice guy and all that, but I'm moving to the Virgin Islands, and I already got my tickets. I said, oh, geez. She's in Narcotics Anonymous as well. I said, well, I've done the long-distance relationship. You know, I'll wait for you to get up, get this island fever thing out of your system, and you can come back, and we could get a townhouse and rest in and be boring and, you know, sit in traffic on 66. It's cool. Do your thing. And meanwhile, she was looking, you know, at jobs for me down there and sending me complimentary subscriptions to Islands Magazine in the mail. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Well, 2 years later, I moved down there. I moved down there on August 8th, 2008, 8808. And coincidentally, I had heard that the number 8 is a symbol of change in Chinese culture. And that is some really weird shit, you know? I really didn't want to move down there because I went down there and visited, and there were like 3 NA meetings with like 3 people. And I said, listen, I am not going down where NA is not, you know, flourishing, because this thing is a deal breaker for me. And she said, you know, help me start NA. And so I went and I talked to my sponsor, and I talked to the guys in my sponsorship network. And he said, yeah, you're not a struggling newcomer anymore that doesn't know how to stay clean. You know how this thing works. Do it. Make the move. And so I moved. 30 years living here, I finally made a change in my life. And it was difficult. And NA is still struggling down there. Because, of course, I had it in my head. When I moved down there, man, I'm going to just, like, spew the gospel down here, you know, at the locals. And they're just going to eat it up. And next thing you know, we're going to have our own convention. And it did not work that way. But let me put this out here. If any of you are thinking of considering a nice vacation in the Caribbean and would like to lead our home group, we need help, man. We need some help. I got married July 7th of last year. It was on her birthday. She said, I'll make it easy for you. I said, that's a keeper. That's a keeper. And I'm 45 years old. I've never been married in my life. I have no kids, you know, that I'm aware of. And at the risk of sounding like an infomercial, the changes that have come about as a result of staying clean and working the steps. The steps is where the credit goes to. The credit goes to God. But the change happened through working the steps, looking at myself and saying, I'm okay. I don't have to be an angry guy feeling like I'm on the outside. It was here in NA that I felt a part of through doing service. You know, it felt like, I don't know if you guys have ever seen that movie, My Bodyguard. You know, the guy goes to a new town, completely new, and he's a scrawny little kid, can't defend himself, and he gets beat up every day by Matt Dillon. He's the bully. And he's like, what the fuck do I do, you know? Well, this even bigger dude than Matt Dillon shows up on the scene and is like, I got your back. That's my higher power. I feel like now I can stand up on my own two feet and face the world. And I'm okay with that. The challenges that I face today, I haven't had any major crises yet in my recovery. I say those are a bunch of not yets. I haven't had the divorce, that's a not yet. I haven't gotten homeless or anything like that. My challenges still seem to be accepting myself as I am. And that's a daily process. I work with some guys that are half my age they do some very technical work that a lot of times I feel really inferior because I'm working with younger guys that are half my age. But I have to remember that when I was using, they were cracking the books and doing whatever it took. And I can't be hating on them for doing what they did. They took me under their wing and are teaching me things. My challenges nowadays are in just dealing with people. And I'm not as easily pushed around like I used to be. And we have one guy, he's fresh out of college and he knows everything. You can't tell him anything at all. And he's one of these guys. He's like in Office Space, he's management material. And we're working on this project. And he seems to be very moody because I don't think he likes living in St. Croix. He feels that he needs to be up in Reston or somewhere, you know, making a lot more money than he is making and doesn't like living in paradise for whatever reason. So he gets very moody. And in the past, I would be that type of addict that just says, God, it must be something that I did. His moodiness, for whatever reason, there's got to be something where I am the common problem. We were at a job site the other day. He started getting moody again, and I said, oh, God. Try to lighten things up with him, but it wasn't working. So we left and went back to the office, and I stopped off at the grocery store and bought him a box of Tampax. And I got back in the car, and I threw it on his lap. And he was just checking his iPhone, and he just didn't even flinch. And I said, those are for you. And he says, oh, cool, thanks. I said, well, at least he could have just cracked a smile and said, listen, I'm sorry I've been a jerk. I was totally wrong, but he didn't. And so that made me real mad. And so I left him there. I said, I'm going to give him to him again on another rainy day, which would have been okay, but the next day, my wife found him, and she said, what the fuck is this? I said, well, it's a box of Tampax, and he said, well, every time I ask you to buy me a box of these, you act like I'm trying to, asking you to go out and cop for me. Who were they for? I said, Joe. Joe? Who's Joe? I said, just some guy that I work with. She says, you're buying tampons for other men. You need to pick up a white key tag or something? There's something you need to be telling me? I said, no. Yeah, I'll keep coming back. So That's where I'm at. My life is a happy one. I could smile a lot more, and I'm not as afraid as I used to be. I'm not that angry guy. Leaving the band that I was in for 22 years was one of the most difficult things that I had. So I left, and the lead singer, being a lead singer, he just talked a bunch of shit, because that's what they do when they're not singing. They got to work their chops somehow. And, he's out of my life. Nowadays, I don't have room for toxic people in my life. I don't have any place for people that are going to be fake friends or fair weather friends, because I know better now. I know that I deserve better. St. Croix is my new home, but when I come back here, this is where I feel like my real NA family is. People are like, you live in the Virgin Islands and you come vacation in Ocean City in April. The fuck is wrong with you, man? But hey, we have nice conventions in Puerto Rico and in the Dominican Republic. They're nice, and if you speak Spanish, that's even better. Me, I don't, but I'm learning. This whole process has been a real gift for me. So, anyways, I'm sure you guys are ready to go to bed. I know I am. So, thanks for letting me share.